is brought to you by Lighthouse Fellowship Antwerpen. For more information, please visit our website www.lighthouseantwerpen.be. We hope that this audio podcast will help you to enjoy life, to love God, and to make a difference.
Good morning again. It's good to be with you. And this is what sometimes happens in life. Things are not going according to plan. Life is not perfect, right? Guess what? Christmas is just about that. It's just about that, that life is not always perfect. We are entering the Advent time, Who of you knows what the word Advent means? Now you know, you have been here the first service, it doesn't count. Anybody who was not here the first service who knows what Advent means? Yes, that's true, but this word, if we literally translate it,
coming.
Exactly. It simply means coming. Koma. So the Advent time before Christmas is the time that we prepare for his coming. Because he came to us, we want to prepare. And I don't know about you, but I experience that the Christmas weeks are not a time of rest, not a time of peace. It's a time of tremendous stress. We had the Sinterklaas feast yesterday in our daycare centers, and it was brilliant, but it was like I was tired in the evening. And you have all these little feasts. You need to go out, look for presents. You need to find them, buy them, wrap them. After Christmas, return them because you don't like them. Now, you have all this stress that only happens on Christmas. You have the family coming together. And I don't know if you have seen, if there's a commercial out there from Lidl. I don't know if this is here in Belgium. I think I saw it on German television. This is like a long table with a lot of people, and they come together for Christmas. And opposite to each other, you have people who are just the opposite of each other. You have like a rock musician and a classical violin player. And all these people who have nothing in common, they sit opposite of each other on this long Christmas table. And the slogan is, if you eat good, you fight less. So I thought that was brilliant, because many times we have these Christmas settings where the whole family comes together, and this aunt and this uncle and these people, and suddenly you need to make this like cozy and nice. Most of the time it isn't. Now everybody has this one weird person in the family. Think about it. If you cannot come up with a name, probably you are that person. Then another thing that I find funny is that we have all these ideas about Christmas, all these feelings that come up. We combine it with snow, with Christmas trees, with Christmas balls, with all these Christmas carols. And specifically funny, I find that nations who were influenced by the British Empire in the past, they took over all these Christmas traditions. Like New Zealand, they sing all the carols in a one-horse open sleigh and the snow, and there is no snow where they are. You know, I found that this picture. It's like they have 35 degrees. They go out swimming December 25. But still, they have these trees and this whole Christmas thing. Why? Because it was imported to them, and they don't think about it. But it doesn't really work. And I don't know what your Christmas memories are. Maybe they are very good. Maybe they are particularly bad. You know, Christmas amplifies the emotions of our childhood. And if you had a nice childhood, then Christmas is probably something very nice. If you hadn't a nice childhood, then Christmas time can be a very difficult time, because a lot of stuff comes up, a lot of memories that you don't really like. I worked with criminal youth for a while, and Christmas days were the most difficult days for them. You know, it's not a secret that suicide rate goes up in these days. Why? Because the emotions, they come out stronger. You feel lonely, or all the hurt of the past Christmases comes up, and it can be a very confronting and difficult time. So we wanna go into reality with this series. We don't want to just do silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. That's probably true, but honestly, it wasn't a silent night back then. Sometimes we have a glorified idea of how it looked like back then. Luke 2, 6 and 7 says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Everybody knows that story. But most people don't realize that Mary was probably somewhere between 13 and 17 years old. She was a teenage girl. She was pregnant. She was not married. That was difficult. On top of this, she said, you know, you might not believe it, but it was God. I did not do anything wrong. God is responsible for this. I mean, honestly, seriously, what will the neighbors say? Sure, honey, it was God. We understand. It was difficult. Joseph was for sure 20 to 30 years older, because this was back in the that was like it is. One interesting fact is, at the time that Jesus was crucified, 33 years later, Joseph was not around anymore. Maybe he died a premature death, we don't know, but Mary was around, Joseph wasn't. Probably because he died on the way, because he was way older than Mary. Then they traveled on a donkey. 9 months pregnant. I have 3 kids. 9 months pregnant. It was difficult to get Hadassah in a car and drive. Honey, slow. Oh, can you drive slower? Okay, I drive slower. This is difficult. Being on a donkey for days, 9 months pregnant. Do you have any idea what this means? It was the firstborn. They did not know what to come. They panicked. There was chaos. Then they arrived there. No place. Said, Lord, what else? This is like your car breaks down, your visa doesn't work, you stand in the middle of nowhere, you have no clue, and right in this chaos, your wife is about to give birth. There was nothing silent about this night. Also, this little stable, it was not chiprock insulated, kind of nice, cozy cabin. It was a stable, it was cold, it was freezing, it was dark, there was no electricity, no lights. I don't think they made a fire because it was dangerous with all the animals around. The crib was not from IKEA. It was not certified by Kin and Chazin. The animals ate out of this thing. It was sturdy. It stinked. But there was nothing else to put the newborn in. It was not a silent night. It was chaos. It was brokenness. It was like one of these days where nothing works out and you're just desperate, said, what else will happen today? Oh, great, now the baby comes. It was one of these days. But there's a powerful Christmas message in there already. God chose a day like this, circumstances like this, to come into our mess, into our imperfect life, into our brokenness, into our loneliness, into our cold, empty life, to be with us. That's the power of Christmas. It's not like on these cards, a nativity story where everything looks so cozy and so warm. I think it was pretty brutal. But still there was beauty in the broken. Because there he was, the savior of the world in a place like this. Wow. We need to go back to the real meaning of Christmas. You know that the phrase peace on earth, if you look this up in the New Testament, you won't find it. Because nowhere in the New Testament the Bible promises us peace on earth in this wide sense. There is no peace on earth. Back then there was no peace. Today there is no peace. If you look into your life, there probably is no peace. If you look at the circumstances, it never been different. And I assume until he comes back, it never will change. The only scripture that talks about this kind of peace on earth is this one. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Imagine this on a Christmas card. A nice tree, nativity story, and then, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Merry Christmas, Frank and Hadassah. That would make a great Christmas card. There is no peace on earth. Jesus did not come to bring this kind of peace on earth. But what else did he come to bring? I want to give you four things that can rip the peace out of you that are probably familiar with you. To you, sorry. The list is probably longer than that, but I just want to get us on the same page. What can get the peace out of us? The first one is unavoidable circumstances. This is stuff that just happens. You don't know why, but it will happen anyway. It's like in a moment where there is so much going on already, your car breaks down. On top of this, I had my car to the Köring. I had it checked, and I don't have much time. So I planned for weeks this Monday morning, and I want to be the first because I don't have time to stand in the queue and wait for 2 hours. It needs to be done. It needs to be fast. I had the car at the garage before to have everything fixed. And then I brought it there, and then the guy asks me for the three documents. Now my driver's license, the car certificate, the insurance certificates, and this form that it's called Gelijkvormigheidsattest. And I couldn't find it. This and one of the lamps was a little bit too high, so I had to go there again. I need to go to the garage where I bought the car. I ask for this attest. It costs $52. I need to wait a week, get the document, make another. And I mean, I don't mind that much, the $52. I mind them because it hurts. But this hassle in the Christmas weeks, I don't have time for this. My goodness, really? That kind of stuff can take the peace out of us. But you know what Jesus says? I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It's not peace on the outside of our circumstances. There will be chaos. There will stuff happen that rips the peace out of you in a second. I had my little one, Zoe, she has a little infection on her belly button right now. And we went to the doctor and he gave a special cream. And I was alone at home, used this cream for the first time and put it on the belly button. Sit the kid down and she panics and screams like I've barely heard her before. And I ran to her and I took her up and I did not know what to do. And she was, and I was shivering. I said, for God, Lord, not now. I'm at the max already. There's so much stuff that needs to be done. And now she's so in pain. And then I realized it was this cream. It just was something in it that really hurt her. So I took it away and she calmed down and I sat there, I was like, no, it takes this moment to get you from 0 to 100 and the peace is gone. Unavoidable circumstances. And the Word of God knows this. Disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins. In an instant, my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. There are these moments that just rip the peace out of you. This happens. In this world, we will have trouble. But the peace that God promises is a different kind of peace. The next one. Unbearable people. Everybody knows them. Don't look at me. You know, I was 2 years ago scheduled to preach in a church in Morzel, and I was late. But I had a good word prepared. I came like the man of God who will bring the word of God, totally in peace. But I couldn't find a parking lot. And then I found one. And I set my, put it left. And I was about to take it. Then this other car came and snatched it right before me. That got the peace out of me. I already pulled my window down. I was ready to step out and said, look, this is just not fair. I was here. You saw me. But then I thought, you need to preach in a few minutes. It's just don't do it. Just forgive him, go your way, preach the word of God. Unbearable people. You don't know why they do it. This is not fair, that's stupid. But you know what? In my private Bible reading time, at the moment I read the four Gospels next to each other. And I'm at the time of the crucifixion. I see all these four stories about the crucifixion and something really got me there. It's the moment where Judas betrays Jesus. And it says he came to this place where they were. And it said that Judas came and gave him a kiss, a friendship kiss. And he acted very, very friendly. He said, Jesus knew all about unbearable people. This was the sign for the Romans to get him and to kill him. Can you imagine how this, what Judas came? Hey, Jesus, so nice to see you. Mwah, mwah. Wow, you look good today. Jesus knew exactly what he was up to. Hey, Judas, good to see you. He knew everything about unbearable people. People who smile into your face, they turn around, they have nothing but gossip and negativity about you. These people are around. At work, you try to do your best so hard, you try to do it exactly as they want to, and all you get is more criticism. This stuff happens. We are surrounded by unbearable people. The Word of God knows this very well. Words of hatred, they surround me, they attack me without cause. And believe me, if you want to get a good dose of this, become a pastor. But we decided to love them anyway, most of the time. No, I'm just saying, it is real and everybody knows it. The next one, unexplainable problems. It's the stuff that is outside of our influence sphere. This is like leadership talk. You know, there's a fear of influence, and I can do something about it. About my finances, about the quality of the product, about how we deal as family, time management. You can do something about it, but there's this other sphere where you have no influence. You cannot influence this, and you need to bear it anyway. What is that? The question if you will be able to save your marriage. You went to the doctor and you're waiting for the results, and you don't know is it cancer or not. Whatever you cannot influence it, but you need to bear it. It's unexplainable. There is not really an answer to it. People get sick, they die. We don't know. Often, I met with a pastor here in town. He's a good guy, and he told me that they had four kids and they lost one because of cancer. Why? I don't know. I don't. It's this stuff that we need to bear. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Sometimes all we have is a big question mark. I don't have all the answers. But I like Chris Hodges. He said, the sound that we will hear if we enter heaven and finally understand everything, see everything as it really is, according to Corinthians, the first sound that we hear in that moment will not be hallelujah, but it will be, now I get it. Finally, we understand. Finally, a lot of things make sense. It's like you have a carpet turned around, a colored carpet, and this is all chaos. You cannot make anything out of it. You don't get it. But if we enter heaven, you turn the carpet around and you see these patterns, and you suddenly many things make sense to you. On this side of heaven, we will have to live with question marks. Unexplainable to us. And the last is uncontrollable worries. Stuff that can paralyze you, can get you down. The Word of God is well familiar with it. We have heard reports about them and our hands hang limp. Anguish has gripped us, pain like that of a woman in labor. I don't know if you ever had moments where this stuff that this was around you was so heavy on you that you couldn't even enjoy the nice moments that were in front of you. Now, there's a nice dinner. Let's say there's Christmas. There's nice food. There are nice people. You actually like these people, but you're so broken on the inside. You're so worried. You're so full with all this junk that you just can't enjoy it anymore. It ruined it. There's no chance to go through. Let's talk about the good stuff. Because as I said, Jesus chose moments like these to come and meet us. He came into our life that is not perfect, that is chaotic, and that is far from how it should be sometimes. Let's have a look at this. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace." But there it is. Peace on earth. You said it's not there. It isn't. Let's read further. "And on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is not a peace for the whole world all at once automatically. No, this is a peace given to those on whom the favor rests. So we need to have a look and how do I get this favor? Because if I have this favor, I will get the peace that is promised. No, unlikely that other religions that exist, the God in the Bible is not a God who says, "You are saved and you are doomed. I like you, but you need to go away." There are other religions out there who proclaim a God like this. Our God is not like this. Our God said here, "I did everything for you to come. It's your choice." And whoever says yes to this God, on them the favor of God rests. In Jesus, we have the favor of God. And we attract this peace that is promised to us. But it's not automatically generally given to everybody around us. So peace on earth? No. Never was, never will be until he comes back. But peace in the middle of the storm, peace in the middle of the circumstances, yes, we can have this. Jesus had it in the storm. The circumstances were dangerous, life-threatening, but he just laid there, totally at peace, sleeping. This is the kind of peace that is not attached to our circumstances that God has for us. He reserved it for those on whom his favor rests. How do we get this? How do we get it? Take home number one. Oh, John 14:27 says, "I'm leaving you with a gift." I think that's what would appropriate for a Christmas series. This translation says, "This peace is God's gift to you. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid." See, it's a different kind of peace. But it's a better kind of peace. Take home number one. How do we get this peace? First of all, receive forgiveness. And I'm serious about this. You might know Jesus for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, but you know what? We all have stuff that needs to be forgiven. Jesus tells Peter, you are in need that your feet are washed every day, although the rest of you is already clean. Forgive yourself, have God forgive you. Let's focus on us being forgiven and God to be perfect. Otherwise, it doesn't work. You know how many times as a pastor I think, I shouldn't have done or say that, or even I shouldn't have thought that because I'm a pastor. I did, and I need to ask for forgiveness because I'm not perfect. So are you. What are you carrying with you? Some stuff that you did, something that makes you feel guilty sometimes, that makes you feel insufficient or not good enough. Take this piece of dirt and bring it to Jesus and then receive forgiveness, and you are free from it because God does not want you to live with it. Whatever it is, receive forgiveness. For the first time in your life, "Lord, I give you my life," or on the go with stuff that just happens. And that's the great thing about God. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. The moment that we bring him this, he takes it, he nails it to the cross and says, "Son, daughter, live your life, you're free. This won't trouble you anymore." There's peace already. There's peace already. Receive forgiveness and forgive yourself. God does not want you to run around with that stuff. He died for that, to set you free. Receive forgiveness. A word says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that because Jesus came on earth, the whole world will have peace. No, there's a special peace reserved for the ones who, on whom his favor rests. And in Jesus, we have access to this peace. Receive forgiveness for whatever it is. Take home number two. Run to God's presence. In the Dutch service, I framed that Wellnessmomente met God. In seiner Anwesigkeit. I like this idea of this. No, because this is not a work-related situation. This is not something where I pray my prayer list or where I try to be a good person. This is simply that you find a moment during the day, and I sometimes lock myself up in the toilet because this is the place in my house where I can be on my own. Just closing a door behind me and have this just this little wellness moment with God. So, Father, I just need to breathe. I thank you that you love me. God, you are in charge and you see what's out there, all the challenges. You are with me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you are with me. Then I can go out again and fight my battles. But it's not a duty. It's like a just this little moment of thank you, God. I just need just give me a hug, just for a second. Thank you. Okay, now I can go again. This nice moment that bring the peace back. I had it this week in the daycare center because somebody was sick and they called me and I need to fall in. That means on top of my schedule, I have some extra hours that I need to stand there and change diapers and do the stuff and talk with the parents and need to squeeze it in. And you can be grumpy about this when it happens. And say, God, why? And you bring this attitude into your team. Or, this is what I did. This is one of the few moments where I did it right. I went to my office just a moment, said, Lord, I don't know how I can deal with it. I'm tired and there's so much stuff. Thank you that you have strength for me to do this. Thank you that you give me the peace. Thank you that you love me. And then I went down and it was a great day. I enjoyed working. Because we have a fantastic team, we have nice children. I had a lot of fun, you know. Instead of being grumpy, I had a great day. Wellness moments with God. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. You know what this steadfast means? Other translations, let me see if I have them for you. Yes, look. Those who dedicate their hearts and minds to you, that means they who decide for a moment to have all their thoughts, all what they have, all the what they're going through, to rest with him for a moment. Because my mind stayed on him. That's powerful. You will keep in perfect, it's the only time that the Bible talks about perfect peace. All who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. What are wellness moments with God? A moment where I fix my thoughts, my emotions on him, just for a moment, tapping into his peace, calm down, and enter the madness of my own life because I have strength again. Wellness moments with God. Number three, how do we get this peace? Walk the walk. You know, our Sunday mornings here are not geared towards the goal that you know more. This might happen, hopefully, but if you walk out and say, great, now I know something more. For what? We rather prefer that you have something here and you walk out and say, okay, I'll try this tomorrow. Hands-on stuff that works in life. I like that one. Einstein's definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. We talked about the principle of the first last Sunday. And many times we get wound up in Christian discussions. I know if you know that, but you talk to people and they know it all. We know so much. Yeah, Frank, in the Greek it even says this and such. And in the Hebrew the word even means this and such. And that's all awesome. My question is, have you ever done it? Just do it. Don't talk the talk. Walk the walk. Because if you do, you will find out it's not that easy. We need to walk ourselves into this doing part, and sometimes it doesn't work out the first time, and then you need your brothers and sisters, your lifeboat, your buddies, that, hey, I honestly don't dare to honor God with the first of my finances because I don't know if it will work out. I'm struggling. This makes disciples. That's the real talk. That's the real thing. Don't go that far. We all know that this Christmas is one of the rare moments, even in Belgium, where you can invite your neighbors to church without being weird. Just please try it. Take a card or two and invite somebody. We all know that this should be done. We all know that this could be done. We all know that this, generally spoken, is very important, but we fail to just do it. And if you give it to somebody and he said, you know what, I'm not coming because I don't like it, at least you tried. And you share it with your people in the lifeboat and they pray for you. And then, you know what, 2 years ago, I had the same, and now the person is saved. This is life. This is how it works. Let's walk the walk. I know that we can talk the talk. Great peace have those who love your Lord, and nothing can make them stumble. If we just apply God's principles into our lives, there is a peace that comes that nothing else can bring. Insanity is doing the same thing in the wrong way over and over again, and you hope that this time you have different results. It won't. We need to start doing things God's way. Then we have the peace promised by Him. This is how it works. And this is, ladies and gentlemen, what I believe is church, therefore, in the first instance. You try it, and it's difficult and doesn't work out, and you have your running buddies to share, to be honest about it, who cheer you up, who pray with you, who say, hey, look, I know exactly because it happened to me as well. That's church. We walk together, but we walk it out together. We don't just know it all. We walk it out together. And the last one, and I want to close with this, trust Him in everything. And this is also a difficult one. But there's a promise in the Word of God I want to give you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God. There's this peace we're talking about. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know that some translations frame it that with thanksgiving for the things that you just asked. Said, Lord, there's a problem and please do this, please do that. And I thank you, God, already that you will have a good solution for it. You already thank Him for what you have asked. You leave it completely in His hands. And the result is a peace that transcends all understanding. And these are these rare moments where you have beauty in the broken. Your life is a mess, there's chaos, nothing works out, but in the middle of it, you have peace. So thank you, God, that you are with me right here, right now. This is what Jesus had in the storm. Life was far from being perfect, but He was completely rested in the grace of the Father. And this is a promise for all who receive Jesus. Trust God in everything. Matthew 28, and let me close with this. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This is true. Wherever you are right now, whatever your problem is, however you feel, that's the truth. Receive it. He is here in the middle of your chaotic mess that is far from being perfect. He chose to come right there to be with you.